I'm so honored and blessed this morning to be speaking to you all. I don't consider myself a lay preacher or some person with a deeper understanding of God's inner workings, but I am a bit of a storyteller. I love to read and to share stories, and my hope this morning is that I can use a story of grief and loss and hope to help us all come to a greater knowledge of Christ today. For those of you who don't know me well, I have a background in mission work. I've been fortunate to live my dream of living and working in Africa, and now I work with children in a children's ministry called Thrive Out of School Care. It is my absolute passion. We are faith and nature-based, and we provide a real need in this community, which is affordable childcare, as well as our hope and our mission, which is to create children who know of Christ's love and have that foundation upon which to build their lives. My biggest prayer is that we're achieving this mission. And if you're familiar with Young Life, you can kind of think of it as Young Life for kids. I consider myself blessed beyond anything I dreamt of to be working with Thrive. And I am a dreamer. I love to dream. I love to daydream, to plan adventures. I share those dreams, and sometimes it freaks out my husband and my family. This new thing I've come up with, it's a great idea. We have to do it. But although being a dreamer is looked down upon as though I have my head in the clouds and my feet aren't on the earth, I have decided as I've gotten older that I don't really dream as much as I hope. I kind of think of it as a gift. I have an excitement for life, a joie de vivre. I can't wait to see what's around the next corner. This hope is a hope in the unseen, in God's great plan for my life. I've replaced the definition, the idea of dreams, with this definition of hope, which is to cherish a desire with anticipation. The Bible urges us to hope, telling us that faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. That's from Hebrews. We know from God's promises, especially in Romans, that God works for the good of those who love him. So if we love God and we follow his prompting, we can have faith and hope that there is unseen good just around the corner. But here's the tricky part. What if God's idea of good for my life and my idea of good for my life don't quite align? Where do I place my hope if I don't agree that God and I agree on what's good for me? Hebrews can be a bit of an optimistic book of the Bible, known for the great hall of faith. So sometimes it helps to look somewhere else. Sometimes when I'm confused about God's idea of good for my life, which happens a bit more often than I'd like to admit, I turn to books that focus on grief. One of the books in the Bible that does this really well is called Lamentations. Lamentations really focuses on the despair and darkness that can be found in the human heart. It is a book of grief, and when I need to wallow, I love to read it. However, even in Lamentations, a bit of life shines through in verses 4:24. When we've got nothing left, we can know that the Lord is my portion, says my soul, and therefore I will hope in him. Even in our grief, we are urged to rest in the truth that he is enough. And this, maybe unsurprisingly, is where my story comes in. You might think that a woman of my tender age of 30 has no real reason to lament. Unfortunately, that's never true of anyone. I have been so blessed in my life. But as some of you already know, I have one major grief, one cross that I bear daily. I have always dreamt of being a mother. I hoped for a large family of busy, dirty, ragtag children. To be honest, I never really thought about my wedding. And unfortunately, as my mom can attest, I wasn't the most organized bride. I love my husband beyond belief, and we have a fantastic marriage, but wife wasn't really a title that I dreamt of, that I aspired to. What I dreamt of was that sound of mom on the lips of children. I was so ecstatic when Dave and I decided to grow our family. I dreamt of lots of children. We didn't quite agree on that one. And especially a little boy who is just like Dave. I have seen so many pictures, and he was so cute. I knew that we might have a bit of a struggle to grow the old Westridge football team, but with faith and modern medicine on our side, I don't think I ever really thought that we would have any problems. And then a year passed, and then another year, and then I couldn't teach Sunday school. Because at the end, when the kids would go home with their mom, it was heartbreaking. When they would be so excited to see mom or dad, and I would be left alone. And my husband was wonderful. He was always game to try the next thing that our specialist guaranteed would work. Through it all, I asked God, isn't this a pure dream? Am I being really selfish? Are you trying to teach me something? And if I can just figure it out, you'll give me that child that I hope for. It didn't happen. And eventually, my hopes and my dreams were dashed against the rocks. I was shattered and I gave up. I accepted that we would not have a biological child, and I grieved. I think I would have become bitter and jealous. But I distinctly remember praying one prayer. I have been blessed with a lot of woman friends, and I love them. And I told God, I want to be able to rejoice with those who are rejoicing. I don't want to become that bitter woman who's angry. And just as I rejoiced with those friends, they also mourned with me. And not surprisingly, God was faithful. He blessed me externally in my job at Thrive. I have 30 kids who I can just pour my life into. He blessed me with 3 of the most precious nieces any woman could ask for. We even got a dog that I could smother with love, and I do. But God gave me something even more precious than these external things. He gave me just a little piece of his wisdom. When I prayed, those were angry prayers. I'm not the best at hiding my feelings, and I wanted to go into God, and I wanted to fume and be angry. But I pray the way that Paul urges us to in Philippians. I always pray by thanking God for the good things in my life. It's become a habit, and it's a habit that I haven't been able to break. So I would thank God that I know him for his peace and his love. For my family, my friends, my church, my health, the list would go on. And eventually, that became a bit of a balm to my soul. The act of thanksgiving, of gratitude, would remind me of other times in my life when God answered my prayers. I realized that the only way that I could continue to get up in the morning and face another day was to hold on to really cling to hope. I had to protect my hope and not give up. It was incredibly hard. I felt like I was setting myself up for a fall. But I realized, so far, I've fallen a lot, and it hurts. But every time, I get back up. It's never broken me. At this point, we gave up on medical intervention for fertility. So we only saw 2 other options, foster care or adoption. Dave vetoed foster care right away, knowing that I would never give a child back. So we chose to adopt, and we're excitedly awaiting the day that we get that phone call that we have been chosen by a birth mother. Choosing adoption was a great decision, and I am beyond happy. But I'm not going to leave that story here with a happy ending. It's life. This is life. It's not a movie or a novel. The reality is I'm young, and God willing, I'll live a really long life, and it will be full of joy, and it will be full of memories. But we all know that it will be full of hard things. It will be full of loss. We lose our loved ones, our kids. My kids wouldn't, but some kids might make poor choices. Drugs and alcohol can cause major problems. Money, with its false promises and allure, will lead people astray. My immediate grief has been answered through adoption, and I'm so grateful. But the best gift that God has given me is a realization of two things. The first is that gratitude is a tool that we have been given to help us hope. Jean-Baptiste Massot is French. He's born deaf in a time when being deaf wasn't accepted. And he was a major revolutionary in changing the way that deaf people were perceived. And he coined a French proverb, which is that gratitude is the memory of the heart. He also has another amazing quote, which is, "Let the English have their coffee and let me have their ham." But I haven't written a sermon about that yet. The memory of the heart points us to God's faithfulness to us personally, to those written about in the Bible, or to those close to us whose stories we are privileged to know. Every time we choose the simple act of gratitude, we are choosing to remember the good things of the past, which give us hope for the future. The second and perhaps most important thing that I realized is that hope is something that we need to cling to. Hope in God and in His goodness. We have to choose to believe that His goodness is the best thing that we can pin our hopes on. We have to live with this verse daily. May the hope of God fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. We have to know that our God is a God of hope, and that His Spirit will give us the power to hope in Him, even as we live in a world that tells us to hope in so many other things. We are told to hope in other people, in marriage or love affairs. We are told to hope in our careers, hope in money, but we're not really urged to hope in God. Or we're told the other thing, something that I've been told quite a bit, which is always helpful: don't get your hopes up. That phrase is used to protect our hearts, but it just pulls the rug out from under us. It gives us nothing to hang on to. It doesn't give us a reason to face a hard day. In God, we must get our hopes up. It's really all that we have to sustain us. It's all that we have to do. We must hope for that which is unseen. Besides our personal hopes, as Christians, our lives are built on one collective hope, and that is Christ's return. We live for the day that our lives are restored, that we are one with God. Everything we do in this life, we do on the hope that in God's word, if we believe it, we will be led to a future with Christ. Our temporal, earthly hopes are valid. They are a good thing. But there is one eternal hope that we have, and that is the gospel message. We hope that Christ will come again for His saints. And if we live our lives not hoping, if we give up hope because sometimes it hurts, and it does, then we cannot fully be living in the reality of hope that is Christ. That's where I'm going to end my story today, and I'd like to end with a word of prayer. So let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank You for who You are. We thank You that You are good and that You have good waiting for us. We thank You for the knowledge of who You are, the knowledge that can be found in Your word. And we thank You most of all for Your Son, through whom we've been redeemed. God, I pray that You give us each an extra dose of gratitude and an extra vision of what You have for us, so that that which seems hard will fade away and the things that are good will seem so big and bright. I thank you for our holiness. Give us your eyes to see. In Jesus' name, amen.